Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 142 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are leaving the alignment section, which we did not discuss at all, in favor of talking about the Dark Tribunal aliens from the Z-Files, and we're entering another section that has appeared in every Palladium game, but by its nature, it's a little bit different in each one. That is the experience level system. As with some other sections that we've seen repeatedly in different seasons of the podcast, this version has extra notes to explain itself. It is 2005, when Beyond the Supernatural 2 is written, and the state of the hobby is such that if the author is going to continue reprinting the same rules he cobbled together in the 1980s, which he absolutely is, he must answer some questions. He must appear before the committee and answer some questions about the state of these rules, and he does. What we're going to discuss today is his account of why the experience system is in the state that it is. The first thing that the author is at pains to assure us of is that these rules are definitely not just lazy or ill-considered. Quote, Every component of the Palladium game system has been carefully thought out, playtested, and fine-tuned for years and years. The choice of a level-based method for character advancement is no exception. Behind the scenes, we've discussed, experimented with, and considered other approaches. Longtime friend and game designer Eric Wujcik tends to like point-based systems and diceless rules. As of late, Wayne Brough Jr. has been fiddling with a point-based character creation system, and we may even try one in the future for a new game. I've also been playing with new and different approaches for my experimental game in development, Void Runners. The point is, as a game designer, I look at, consider, and fool around with every possibility. All of this is very interesting to me. I wouldn't venture to say that it's false. I wouldn't presume to say, this is a lie, they didn't test anything, they didn't try anything new, they didn't consider anything. I accept the account. But it is legitimately shocking to me that this process apparently took place because of where these rules landed. The state of the Palladium rules, even in 2005, makes the most sense if we assume that we're dealing with a designer who has not seriously considered changing the way that he roleplays or designs for like 20 years. Inertia is a real element of the hobby. It has not escaped my own notice that in a fairly short number of years, I have gone from being very interested in the cutting edge of roleplaying technology to not very interested in doing anything other than basically what I've been doing with friends all my life. Because, you know, you get older, you make more and more investment in what you've always done, and you have less and less time to sort of spend your recreation time warming up to a new form of recreation. It's a very natural process. And by all evidence, that's what's taken place in the design philosophy of Kevin Sambito. We saw earlier in his account of his work that it's heavily influenced, if not determined, by his early gaming experiences back in like the late 70s, early 80s. I am sympathetic to becoming an old curmudgeon and deciding, fuck all this new stuff. I had fun role-playing like this when I was a teenager. I had fun doing it this way in my 20s. And now I'm done. The window for new fun closes at about age 30 or 35, and from this point on, we're locked in the bunker with our supplies of old vacuum-sealed fun, and we just subsist on that until we die. It's bleak, but I have a high tolerance for bleak. What's truly shocking to me is the idea that at Palladium, they, for example, ran a test campaign using a different experience system, or a different style of character creation that's more modern, and earnestly gave it a try, and then thought, you know what? This makes too much sense. This game, it's starting to feel like cause and effect is holding together. There are meaningful choices to be made. When I try to do something, I can do it. It feels wrong. It feels like I'm just covered in fucking bugs, all this logic all over me. We gotta change it back, guys. 3D6 down the line, leave well enough alone. If it is broke, don't fix it. That's the Palladium motto. That is shocking to me. And it, to me, gives a different level of culpability for the rules that we're about to read. They weren't left in this state accidentally. There was like new bidding for who's got the best idea for character creation and advancement rules. And we landed on this in the year 2005. I'm going to say it's the dumbest thing on this page. That if you take this game designer's note at its word, Palladium reconsidered both its character creation and advancement rules and decided anew on this in the 21st century. After playtesting some more modern ideas. We've talked a little bit about the game designer apologism throughout this book. This is bad apologetics. The author is only further incriminating himself with this game designer's note. There's one particular point that I have to pick out here that's going to be really relevant to what we see moving forward. Quote, the experience level approach is intended for a long-term campaign, in anticipation of playing on a regular basis for months or even years, and on the premise that all characters start at level 1. This is so incredibly important. And the reason may not be immediately apparent to those who've not listened to previous seasons, so let me just break it down. It has been implied and from time to time outright asserted that the typical length of a Palladium campaign will be measured in years throughout the books that we've looked at. And we've sort of accepted that. We've sort of chalked it up to the same bizarro world of gaming that happened in the late 70s that Palladium sprang out of. Like, yeah, let's get 26 people together. Let's have 30-minute long rounds of combat that we brag about because look how quick and easy our combat system is. Let's have random ass everything for character creation, and let's have it take a really long time. So you roll dice like 6 times, you can instantly tell if this is a character you hate, and then you have to go through like 2 more hours of character creation after the first step is, I already know I hate this. We've just been accepting that this model of what role-playing is and what people want is an old model that's never been changed, and that the logic of the game is contingent on that weird model. It's a game meant to be played in Bizarro World. But no, the author, once again, he incriminates himself by denying himself the excuse of ignorance. This passage acknowledges that most campaigns, if they are indeed, quote, long-term, will be formed with, quote, an anticipation of playing on a regular basis for months or even years. These rules acknowledge that even a campaign intended to run for months is a long-term campaign. It is in light of that that we should judge the glacial rate of character advancement in Palladium games. If you're a game designer who knows that even a long game is doing pretty good if it lasts for a year, you should know better than to do the things you're about to do on the next several pages. Speaking of which, join me next time as the author moves to point 2 in his self-defeating defense of these rules, the argument from realism and comic books, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Megadumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.